mute themselves while Edith is sharing. And who's the timer again? Yeah, Jolene? Yeah. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. My name's Edith, and I am an alcoholic. I'm a codependent. I am a debting spending addict, a food addict, electronics addict, a sex and love addict, and who knows, more may be revealed. I have done this work as it's laid out in this big book with the help of two very patient, loving Big Book Step Study sponsors, very patient and loving God. I made almost all my amends, willing to make every single one, living in 9, 10, 11, 12 on a daily basis to the best of my ability. Thank you so much. It's always, always such an honor and a privilege for me. Gosh, it kind of brings a little tears to my to speak at any of these big step study meetings, because it has changed my life so drastically, so dramatically, every aspect of my life. And, you know, I was thinking about going back to the time when I was reading and looking up words and, you know, writing out definitions and all that. And I just, there's so much in that, just that step, you know, that, and that first sentence just really struck me, you know, that most of us have been unwilling to admit we were alcoholics, or, you know, in my case, alcoholics, food addicts, any one of a number of things. So, and that word unwilling just loomed large for me, because that's kind of got to be the understatement of the year for me, specifically alcoholism. You know, I knew I was a food addict, knew that. I admitted to that, but I've told this story before. I mean, it was literally, well, even though I was going to meetings in this program and saying that I was a food addict and everything, it was several years before I actually, you know, the light switch. Oh, I'm also an alcoholic. And before I was able to see it and admit it, you know, and it was through this work, because I couldn't. I mean, and that in spite of the fact that my sponsor, my Big Book Step Study sponsor, has said on more than one occasion when I talked about some of the things I did while drinking, and you don't identify as an alcoholic. And I was like, oh, no, no. There was probably one little box that I felt like I didn't have, couldn't check. And so, oh, no, because, you know, I'm delusional. I can, that's part of my disease. I was just dishonest with myself and others, and just delusional. So that unwillingness, you know, I just wasn't ready. I wasn't, definition of willing, ready, eager, sure wasn't eager, and I wasn't prepared to do that, to do something, and I certainly wasn't prepared until that point, until I was ready, and God made me ready. That was God in this work right here. And admit something, you know, to confess, that word right there just kind of freaked me out anyway. To confess these things to be true with reluctance, that's what that means. Admit is to confess to be true or to be the case, typically with reluctance. And I underlined reluctance because I was very reluctant. And I was unwilling to recognize my powerlessness, and unwilling and just unable, you know, both. Because powerless means without ability, without influence, without power. And, you know, I couldn't believe that I didn't have those things, you know, because I was just delusional. And it talks about that the delusion that we might be like other people has to be smashed. I love that. I love that, because that's how it is. And this process is what helped me to really smash that. And I love all these words for powerless: impotent, helpless, ineffectual, inadequate, ineffective, useless, defenseless, vulnerable, weak, feeble, paralyzed. All of these apply to me. Unable to do things, incapable of doing things. You know, I mean, that was me. I was powerless, because I have no power in and of myself. It has to come from a power greater than myself that it talks about at the end of that, and that, you know, for every aspect of my life. One of the words that it talked about, and I didn't even know what this word was in the definition, so I had to look it up, resistless, and it's an archaic definition, but I love this. It says, powerless to resist the effect of someone, codependent, or something, alcohol, sugar, flour, wheat, electronics, TV, you know, all that good stuff, sexual encounters, powerless to resist the effect of someone or something, just unresisting. And that described me so perfectly. I just wasn't ready or able to face all those facts about myself. I had just had no power, no ability to act in a particular way either. That's another part of the definition, to act in a particular way, especially referring to a faculty or a quality. You know, I just couldn't act how I should have acted. You know, I was just off the chain. And the facts that I am an alcoholic and all those other things, it was only God in this process that helped me to see that. So another thing that came up when I had looked up admit, and it doesn't apply to, you know, admit we were alcoholics, but it does apply to my process because it says admit. The other definition for admit, not the one for this step, but allow someone to enter, and that's what I had to do. I had to admit God. I had to admit. That's making me emotional. I had to admit God into my heart and into my mind, into my thinking, into my processing of my thought process, because I have a peculiar mental twist. So I had to let God in. And I was unwilling and unable to do that for a long time. And it was this process, this particular process, this fact-finding, fact-facing, that allowed me to enter God. And that also includes God with skin on, you know, the people, my sponsor, the people in this room right here who I consult with. You know, obviously, primarily God, that's my first go-to prayer and meditation. But I have to be willing to reach out to the people, other people too. And just that I concept of letting God, being willing to let God into my heart and mind, is what allows me to smash that idea, you know, to just smash that idea that I might be like other people someday, because I won't. I'm always going to be, you know, my life's always going to be unmanageable unless I'm trusting, relying on God. Unmanageable, difficult, or impossible to manage, manipulate, or control. Yeah, I tried. Man, I thought I was a real manipulator and a control freak, but I wasn't. My life was unmanageable. I was trying to manipulate and control people and other things, but I wasn't able to because I'm not God. So, and I love all this list about unmanageable, because this was me. I was all these things in different situations. Troublesome, demanding, oh yeah, awkward, cumbersome, unwieldy, uncontrollable, ungovernable, unruly, disorderly, rowdy, out of hand, wild, boisterous, difficult, disruptive, undisciplined, recalcitrant, intractable, impossible, obstreperous, incorrigible. And there was one other word in that definition, I didn't know what it meant, and so I looked it up. Cumacious. It's another archaic word, but these archaic ones seem to fit me. Stubbornly or willfully disobedient to authority, you know. And stroppy was another one. I had no clue what that meant. Bad-tempered and argumentative. Oh, yeah. And refractory. Stubborn or obstinate. And, you know, all of those things that I've been reading and those definitions describe me. And it just amazes me how this book, this big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, can just nail me. And just, you know, tell me what's wrong with me so I can make some changes. And it was this process. It was my higher power and the willingness, you know, to, even though it took me a long time, I was resistant about that, to do the work, you know, to make those changes. You know, because I've now found out these facts about myself, and more keep being revealed to me. I keep having more of these types of things revealed to me, but I'm open to that because I want to change. But I have found them, and I've faced them, and I'm willing to continue to do that process, And I have to say that I just love all these stories in here. You know, I just love these stories because, you know, someplace in here it says, it would seem, you know, it might seem kind of ridiculous. No, this is me. These stories, you know, the thought just happened across my mind that maybe if I poured my milk, my whiskey into some milk, it'd be okay. You know, I still have those thoughts. and I have to ask God to take those away because I am and will always be all those things I named. I'm always going to be an alcoholic, a food addict, a codependent, you know, all of those things. So I have to be on guard. I have to be trusting and relying on God. I have to be reaching out to people for their input on things, you know, calling them. And this always brings to mind when I think about that is texting someone. I thought I had a nice response to something that kind of pushed my buttons, and I sent it to some one of you that's in this room today, and the person called me and said, don't send that text. Don't send that text. Yes, we'll talk. I'll be available soon. Don't send that text. And I didn't. And I was so glad because, you know, I thought it was fine, but it wasn't fine. And, you know, they knew it wasn't. They recognized it wasn't fine. And then, you know, 20 minutes later, the person called me and it was all resolved. So, you know, thank God for the people in this room and the other people in this program and all my programs, really, that I can I trust and rely on God, but God works through these other people in this room, and my other programs and my other BBSS programs that I say. How am I doing on time, Jolene?
Got 8 minutes.
Okay, thanks. Thank you very much. All right, so I want to talk a little bit about these stories because they are so apropos. I love analogies and stories to help me understand things. I can get them stuck in my head and they're fun. They're fun, but underneath is a very, very powerful, important idea. For one thing, it's a progressive disease. That's why, my gosh, I'm just, you know, there's a little bit of a fear factor in there about what would happen. I don't even want to think about what would happen if I started drinking again or eating sugar and stuff, because just like with the jaywalker, he's probably the only one that's really just a metaphor or a story, but not a real person. But, you know, first he goes out there and he breaks one thing, then his arm, then both legs or something, then his back, you know, and he loses everything. And that's what this disease can do. That's why I have to smash, totally and completely smash, any idea that I will never be like everybody else, like normal, quote, normal people, as far as alcohol and all those other things that I mentioned. I just won't, you know, because when I ingest alcohol or sugar, flour, or wheat, it does not affect me the same way that it affects, say, some of my siblings or relatives or other friends. You know, it talks about them taking a drink with impunity. I can't do that. I do insane, crazy things when I'm drinking, things I wouldn't do otherwise. And when I was ingesting sugar, flour, wheat, I was in a food fog. I was, literally, my brain, it wasn't healthy for me, because I believe that my higher power wants me to be healthy, and that wasn't healthy what I was eating. So there was a lot of real advantages to these changes that I've made. And I love the guy, I love the one about, you know, the guy, he used to own the car dealership, right? So now he's reduced to being a salesman in a lucrative car agency that he once owned, okay? And, you know, he says, I had a few words with the boss and it wasn't any big deal, right? Well, I hate to tell you, bud, but you're kind of in a fog too, because if you have a few words with the boss, it probably is a big deal, you know. It's not a good thing to hear about. And, you know, people joke about, well, he came in on Tuesday. Well, what happened to Monday? Well, that's another thing about us alcoholics. We can have blackouts. We can lose whole days. Someone said, maybe in a meeting, that blackout is the only time that even through anything, hypnosis, nothing, I don't know if this is true or not, but it makes sense that you cannot remember. I mean, even even with hypnosis, even with all these other methods, you know, you just can't, you've lost that time. And I feel like, yes, I lost a lot of time, I lost a lot of good relationships and a whole lot of other things through my drinking and my other addictions. But thankfully, this program has allowed me to see what I was doing and to have alternative. There is a solution, you know.
5 minutes.
Thank you. Self-knowledge is not going to do it. It tells us that. You know, it doesn't matter how many self-help books I read or how many, and no human power is going to do it. No therapist. You know, they might help me. No therapist, no boyfriend, girlfriend, nothing. You know, it's not going to work. The only thing that's going to work is a relationship with my higher power. And I'm talking about a relationship, not just believing in a higher power. That's not enough, not for me anyway. I've got to have a relationship. I've always believed in a higher power, but I've got to have a relationship with a higher power. And, you know, these folks that they're talking about in these stories, you know, Fred, the car dealership fellow, and I mean, he's like me. He's, or I'm like him, however you want to put it. But, you know, those, like I've said, those same little thoughts still float across my head, like, oh, well, it might be good to, that might taste good, or it might be good to eat that, or whatever. But I know better now. I know that I have to keep continuing to allow God to give me the willingness to want to smash those things, ideas. And, you know, thought came to me, a couple of cocktails with dinner, no big deal, right? Yes, that would be a very big deal for me. You know, a very big deal. Let's see what else. Okay, I wanted to go to the very end and then I'll finish up. Yeah, lack of power, that was my dilemma, and I have none. I'm powerless. I have zero power in and of myself. God is the only place I get my power, and I have to be in tune with Him if it's going to be a positive thing. All right, so the very end of the, whoops, not too bad, where it says, once more, the alcoholic has certain times has no effective mental defense against the restraint, except in a few rare cases, neither he nor any human being, no human being, including myself, can provide such a defense. His defense must come from a higher power. It's a spiritual defense, and I have found that by doing this work. So if you're reading, keep reading. If you're writing, keep writing. If you're thinking about doing, snag yourself a sponsor, because there are plenty of them in this room that are willing to do that, and get started, because my experience, strength, and hope, it's not easy. Nobody's going to say it's easy, but it is so worth it, worth it, worth it, because it's changed every aspect of my life so that I am now happy, joyous, and free. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Edith.